under you, that scripture is being fulfilled. You don't need to look to your left or to your right. It's fulfilled within your presence. And so everybody's eyes was fixed on him and they were smiling. This is cool. And at the same time, people were thinking, now, isn't this Joseph's son? Doesn't he live near Surbiton Station? You know, man, he must be. And they couldn't for the life figure out that this guy. But God was saying, look, historically, about 1,000 years ago, you read the scripture. But history is now becoming a fact, and that fact's me. And so historically, it was recorded that there was a man like Jesus. And this is the thing that a lot of people following the atheistic worldview, they can't figure this out. How could people write about a guy and describe him so beautifully and later on he exists? That was what Christ was trying to say. But most important, he said, the Spirit was upon me. This was before just after his temptation. And I'm just wanting to tell you, there's a way that I'm going to talk to you. There's a way that I'm going to walk among you. It's going to be beyond everything. For me, one of the most important things that I learn out of this scripture and from scripture and especially from this is the fact that God was showing us He's willing to turn His heart. The next slide says, this was about the turning of the heart to proclaim and demonstrate God's favor. And there must be a perpetuation of God's mission for mankind. Just as Christ turned His heart towards us, we need to turn our hearts towards each other. The fulfillment of love in each other's presence. Christ was saying, you all heard Malachi chapter 4 verse 6, the hearts of the fathers must turn to the hearts of the sons. But I'm here now and I'm going to show you how a father turns his hearts to his sons. I'll demonstrate it through the Spirit. I'll bring the good news to the poor. And you watch me. I'm going to fulfill this dream for you. Today I'm turning my heart towards you. You would want to kill me. You would want nothing to do with me. But today I'm turning my heart towards you. I'm turning my heart. And my word, did God turn His heart? Now this is the problem. Our conundrum. Turning of the heart is a very beautiful spiritual term. But how do you turn your heart towards somebody? How do you turn your heart towards your daughter or your brother or your wife for that case? Because I've been in many a situation where Christ has said, turn your heart towards your daughter. And then I can't. I don't have the capacity. I don't have the ability. And that is what Christ came to demonstrate. That He's willing to turn His heart. And He said, there's a reason why I'm doing it. I want you to also do it. And He gives two examples of how He turned His heart and how the prophets turned their heart. He was talking about the widow and He was talking about Naaman. Interesting story, Naaman. You can read it. And the widow. None of them were Jews. So Jesus deliberately plays the race card here. You know, the prophets of old, they didn't come to you Jews. They went to two Gentiles. That's why the people were angry with Him. They were just so angry. But God was trying to show them how you turn your heart. He was using those examples to serve them this way. You know, and can I just tell you, if we don't have the ability to turn our heart like Christ to the next generation, nothing of this gospel will come to fruition. I'm not talking about doing church. I'm not talking about doing church in a synagogue. I'm not talking about worshiping together. I'm not talking about big church or small church. I'm talking about the ability to turn your heart to perpetuate Christ's dream and mission. He had a mission. And in that mission, He said, look, I'm going to show you how to do it. And that is what Christ expects from us. To perpetuate His mission. In other words, I'm just excited at what Christ say, but I want to impart that in you, and you must do it. You must live out Christ's dreams in whatever nation Christ has called you to do. The turning of the heart to proclaim and demonstrate God's favor. And then God says, the Spirit has set me apart. The setting apart by the Spirit is the key to the proclamation of the gospel. We are being anointed for the fulfillment of God's mandate historically and spiritually. That was Christ was trying to say. Christ said, look here. You see, it's very difficult if you just read that piece of scripture and you do not interpret it in what Christ came to do in terms of making disciples. It's a link. I'm here to do it. I'm set apart by the Spirit. And Christ was saying, look here, I'm not my own. I do as the Father tells me to do, and that I'm going to do. And if you look at the perpetuation and the setting apart, we see it right through Scripture, the turning of the hearts doesn't happen. No, it doesn't. Can you remember that guy Eli in the book of Samuel, his two sons that slept, they were priests. There wasn't a turning of the hearts. Samuel's sons, they never listened to their dad Samuel. There wasn't a turning of the hearts. David, the most successful king. David's house was in chaos because David could never turn his heart toward his sons. Think about Absalom. The setting of the part, but the inability to turn the heart to the next generation. The setting apart of David as king, Samuel as prophet, Eli as priest, Joshua, after Joshua, nobody after Joshua, just judges. There's not a perpetuation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what the cross is representing here? There's a perpetuation of the gospel that needs to live in generation after generation. I'm not talking church. I'm not talking about getting things done. I'm talking about being together, imparting the heart of Christ, and then getting things done. Enjoying what Christ is doing. And I say this with fear and trembling because so many pastors, and I'm talking to myself now, pastors' kids, there's not a perpetuation of this Christ-fulfilling mandate being set apart. And I always say, God, so how are you going to help me with this? Because this thing, if I don't get this thing right, it's going to go haywire for my kids. But not only that, within the scriptures, being fulfilled and anointed, a fighting for their hearts. Can you understand now why Christ said, all that I'm wanting to say is that this is today fulfilled within your presence. I'm here to demonstrate it to you. I'm here to do it for you. I was set apart to do this. This is why I came. I came for relationship and to impart my heart. I was anointed for this. And God is wanting us to understand that He wants us to do that. But you know, kingdoms will collide on several levels. The first level is the poor. He said that I'm going to preach, it's going to make sense. Now I'm going to preach the gospel to the poor. But you know what? This talks about social pain and the causes by the social pain is injustice. In other words, Christ was saying, I'm going to show you, I'm going to talk to the poor. Socially, nothing's happening to them. It's a massive burden. It's painful for them. But I'm going to show you how I turn my heart towards the poor. Because I've been anointed. And you know, in a nation like England, where so many people get stuff, they just get it. They don't ask for it. They don't have to work for it. They just get it. And I think it started as a godly system, but now it has been, socially, it has been just corrupted. But God said, I'm going to do something better than the NHS. I'm going to do something better than grants. I'm going to do the turning of the heart. Now, I can tell you, if you want to preach this gospel, kingdoms are going to go out. There's a lot of people that's going to hate us. Just like these people hated Jesus. Although we came to help the poor, they didn't understand that. They just saw that you're going to take stuff away that belongs to us. And Christ says, no, I'm wanting to show you how I'm turning my heart towards you. I'm going to talk about this thing. Are you with me? There's a thankfulness that didn't come and it wasn't received. And that's why God's saying, my children, I'm showing you this because people are not going to understand you if you're wanting to help them. I came to address social injustice, social pain. I came to address everybody that is poor. But I'll tell you, preach the gospel to somebody who's poor. What would the reaction be? I'm not talking wishy-washy. God loves you. He loves you. But if you go to the heart of being poor, to the heart of that works from the Lord, get up early in the morning. You've got it. Yeah, man, people will be angry at you for saying that to them. I was ministering to a guy in South Africa. He was poor. And I told him, you're prideful. He was so angry. Because to him, he didn't have any pride in him. He lived on the streets. I said, but that's exactly what Christ is not saying. You're not willing to receive correction and instruction. There's pride in your life. That's why you are. How many dreams are sleeping on the steps of the post office? How many dreams are just fading away on cardboard boxes? You with me what I'm saying this morning? The social injustice, the fact that kingdoms will collide. Jesus said, I'm gonna preach to the poor. But it's gonna come at a price. The second thing, he says, those who are captive, prisoners being treated with cruelty, being in bondage by a foreign power. That's what Jesus says. I'm going to just pronounce this blessing. I'm here to pronounce this blessing to those who are being taken captive. And Christ says, there's going to be difficulty in proclaiming this gospel to a lot of people. Because I tell you, people talk about worldviews. Worldviews are not a biblical term. I know what they want to say with worldviews. With worldviews, people are wanting to say, it's a way that people view the world. It's different from the Christian worldview. But if before this, when Jesus was tempted, Jesus and Satan didn't talk about worldviews. What did they talk about? The last one when Satan tempted Jesus. Satan said, I'll give you these kingdoms. And Jesus said, no, I'm not interested in your kingdom. I come from another kingdom. So preaching to the poor from a Christian perspective would mean that the kingdom way of seeing the poor, the kingdom way of seeing those who are captive, it would mean that if we engage the worldly kingdom of the poor and the worldly kingdom of being captive, it's going to be two different levels. You can ask Gerard. His mission in life, he works a lot with the poor. You can ask him how many fights they've had around the table about how do we distribute to the poor. It's not just a mere opinion around the table. I can tell you this, it's kingdoms colliding right there, and I'm talking about Christians. From what kingdom perspective do we preach to the captives? I mean, when we talk to Christians about deliverance, it's always scary stuff. But David was never scared of deliverance. David says in all his Psalms, I've met Christ, the deliverer. But if you talk about deliverance in church, it's always a negative conversation. And I guess for good reason, because there's a lot of people that have been abusing it. But deliverance, delivering captives, while it came as natural to Jesus, a lot of people didn't understand it. Jesus says he's going to preach to the blind. The next slide. An inability or an unwillingness to receive the gospel. Jesus was not talking here about captivity. He was talking here about spiritual oppression. In other words, Jesus says there's a kingdom mindset. It's not going to be solvable by doctors. It's not going to be solvable by pastors. churches won't be able to solve this. It's going to be the power of the Holy Spirit that will set people free. Kingdoms are colliding. We're talking about kingdoms colliding. Not worldviews, kingdoms. One of the telling conversations in my life was with somebody that struggled through a lot. And what she couldn't figure out was the fact that she has tried everything, from good advice to yoga, but it didn't help her. And the only sane thing that I could tell her, look here, the only thing is I'm not going to tell you to try Christ, but you've got to read scripture and you've got to understand if this thing is wanting to help you, because she was very clever and obnoxious, very clever, intelligent, brilliantly intelligent lady. And I said, I can't reach you, but I can tell you this, you've tried everything, you know you've tried everything, but it's not working. And immediately a worldview in terms of being blind, which I can't help with. I can only give the scripture, preach the gospel, and then God must unlock hearts. Because what Jesus was saying, nobody would know me if I don't reveal myself to them. None of us here would know Christ if he didn't decide to reveal himself to us. That's what makes the message of the cross so beautiful. None of us worked for it. I didn't save myself. A king from another kingdom knocked my kingdom to pieces and he said, do you want to be part of this kingdom? Opening up blind. Kingdoms will kind of say, the oppressed, slavery of people, the mentality, physically and emotionally. Christ said, I came to demonstrate this. I was reading an article this morning about teenagers. You've heard the term sexting, where teenagers are just under pressure to take nude pictures of themselves, sending it back and forth over the internet. One teenager saying, this woman wrote a book about it. She's just saying, people don't worry. Teenagers and people in school, they don't worry if you're clever anymore. You're either beautiful and you're something to look at or not. And you either post nude pictures of yourself and people having intercourse, then you're somebody. Why am I sharing this with you? Because we've got to learn how, like Jesus, to talk to the oppressed. Isn't it on there, the next one? Just check there, the oppressed, yes. So kingdoms are colliding if we need to sit down and talk to people. And this is the scary thought and the scary thing for me, is that the church, we don't know how to engage them. We don't know how to sit down understanding why kingdoms are colliding and how we need to talk with them. But Jesus said, I came to fulfill it. Now that's the good news. We can do it because he's wanting to perpetuate the heart of the Father to us. He's turning his heart. He's wanting to show us. And he's been anointed by the Spirit. So I know I'm preaching something that's a bit weird and strange to digest. I know, and I'm deliberately doing it because I want us to start thinking, if we're going to reach the people, if we're going to perpetuate Christ's heart for this nation, for Europe, we've got to understand how we're going to talk to the oppressed. Mentally, physically, in their mentality, their emotions. And the one thing that I've learned over and over again, if you challenge people's intellect, and you go for their emotions, and you challenge their core commitments by the power of their spirit, they're bound to change because Christ will do it. But there's an engagement that must take place. And one of the things that I hear, the profanity of school children here, it's a swearing. Somewhere along the line, it's not fine to say, oh, they swear a lot. Somewhere along the line, we've got to find a way to sit them down and talk to them about it. I mean, have you seen, I'm going to say something again now, the anger of these kids here. Kids in this nation, they have anger. And we all know where it comes from. The fact that we can't use the rod here. The rod was meant to help us in discipline and getting. But now somewhere along the line, we've got to sit people down and talk to them. Okay, do you know why you feel like this? Why are you so angry? Why are you so angry? Now, I'm saying things here, and I may upset people, and you may be thinking I'm passing judgment. That's not what I'm wanting to do. I also have kids. All that I'm saying, Christ said, I'll challenge worldviews. I'll challenge kingdoms. The kingdom where you think and the kingdom where I think it's going to clash. It's going to clash. I mean, in South Africa now, fees must fall. I've said it and I'm going to say it again. How can things be difficult if you study at the University of Stellenbosch? How did you get in there the first time? I don't understand it. It's like the same moment I keep on telling David when I watched the riots a few years ago here. Yeah, and the guys that were breaking the windows had on Nike tops and Nike tackies. And I'm wanting, sorry, Nike trainers. It's not tackies. Tackies in South Africa, trainers here, you know. But I was trying to figure this out. God, so he's got a Nike top and Nike trainers. Does he really need money? But again, it's that anger. There's something there. There's a lawlessness. And Christ said it. Lawlessness will abound because the love of many will grow cold. Why will the love grow cold? The love will grow cold because fathers doesn't have the ability to turn their hearts. That's why love grow cold. And so when we get that right, we can sit people down and we can talk to them. A lot of people are starting to panic. I can tell you why there's a lot of people starting to panic. Because we don't know how to address the issues anymore. So genocide and abortion is not an issue anymore. The less of them, the better. Let them die. Let them starve to death. There's a few good people that are really wanting to do something about situations, really. But I just think there's where governments' heads are at, a lot of governments. Just leave them to themselves. They'll destroy themselves. That's really what I think people are thinking. Seriously, that's my opinion. I can be wrong. But if I look at Jesus, what he came to demonstrate, overthrowing the powers to be with the message of the cross, governments and everything, that's why people were so angry at him, because he challenged their way of thought with the kingdom. And that's why I said, today what you're hearing I'm reading is fulfilled within you. So, we, the next slide, we must do whatever it takes to relate to God properly, because the proclamation of God's favor may not seem fair to any one of us. It didn't seem fair to them. So Jesus says, yes, that's why Elijah went to a Gentile. That's why Naaman, a Gentile, was being healed of leprosy. God didn't perform any miracles with you Jews. I'm Jewish. God went to the Gentiles and so they were angry. Let's throw him over here. They were angry. There was an anger there, but God was challenging them. God was saying, look here, my favor cuts both ways. You either like it or you don't. And I mean, even if you favored, there's a lot of people that's not going to like you because it just cuts both ways. God's promises always cut both ways. The blessings of the Lord makes one rich, and it adds no sorrow from where he comes. God adds no sorrow, but I'll tell you, if people don't like you, if they come from another kingdom, it's not going to be very favorable for us. But I love the way God perpetuated his dream and how he's wanting this to be done in us and through us. I love the way God is wanting us to reason with the poor, with the oppressed, with the lonely. The message of the cross that just brings power, delivering people. Man, it's amazing. I'm looking forward to those days where we can confront people without being scared of governments and what governments say. I don't know if we should put this on the website, Trev Dong. I don't know, but I'm going to say it. Let's pray about it. Let's be wise. You don't have to cut it out. You don't have to mute it. I mean, what most fathers and mothers have to figure out right here, right now, at this stage. Am I going to follow Scripture and give my child a hiding? Am I willing to go to jail? And what most pastors have to figure out, are they going to preach it? That's basically it. But people, we can't keep our mouth shut anymore because government says something and Scripture says something else. It's two kingdoms colliding. So what am I saying? I'm not saying listen to me. I'm saying sort this out with God. If you don't have the faith for it, just say, God, I don't have the faith for this. So please, I'll try something else. And God would meet you there. There's a lot of things that we can't say. There's a lot of things that we can't do. We can't bake not cakes. If you've heard about the story in Northern Ireland, I've read up on it. This guy said, no, but we're not going to bake a cake for a gay wedding. They were sued. They lost the case. Chaos. So the stuff that I'm preaching about and saying this morning, I could potentially go to jail. Seriously, this is how serious it is. I mean, it's just us now, yeah, but if this thing has to leak, or if somebody here in the room's thinking, I'm going to get that pastor, mini-me, I'm going to get him, I'm going to send it to the authorities, I could go to jail, seriously. I'll be picked up tomorrow and they'll ask me, so what are these stuff that you're talking about? And people, that's the kingdoms colliding. But you know what? God said, it's fine and it's fair and it may not be fair. And we all know that John the Baptist became offended. He sent his disciples, tell him if he is the Messiah. And what did Jesus say? You go tell John, I'm healing, I'm preaching, and ask him, is he offended because of me? Just ask John that, go back, ask him that. John had to make his sons in jail. But what I love about proclaiming weird sermon, eh? The Lord's favor. But that's how the Lord's favor works. But you see, as soon as you step into that kingdom, there's a freedom within your heart. There's a freedom that would step into our hearts. That's going to change our lives forever. There's a freedom that steps into our hearts when Christ says, today that is fulfilled within your life. Right in front of you, I'm standing. It's something that Christ wants everybody to experience. Seriously. Please don't go out of here and think, Carlos said, I must be radical now. Harmless as a dove, as cunning as a serpent, Jesus says, in preaching the gospel. Wisdom. But clarity on the kingdom issues. Relating properly to God. And all that I'm saying, we're going to start helping each other. We've got to start with think tanks. So how do I address this issue of homosexuality within my working environment? How can I preach the gospel there without being ostracized? Can I spank my children? How can I do it? What should we do? What would be the best thing to do? For now, we haven't given each other answers. We were like being left to our own. I said, how do I preach to the poor? Do I give them money? How do I? What do I do first? How do we engage this culture of kids? They just think differently. The music that they listen to sounds different. I've spoken to a few pastors that's in their 40s, 50s. They tell me when they listen to house music, the only thing they hear is dish, dish, dish. I say, no, but there's other sounds also. No, it's dish, dish, dish. I say, no, can you hear the other sounds? There's a keyboard, there's a percussion. It's being looped. Can you hear? No, they can't hear it. I can tell you what's happening. There's not a turning of the hearts. There must be a turning of the hearts to those people that we don't understand. There must be a turning of the hearts. There must be a perpetuation of Christ's dream. Just to say that forth and challenge people. I mean, that's why it's important for us to always make room for the top 2% of the intellectual guys that really works hard. We've got to sit down and understand what they're thinking about and what they're saying and why they're saying it. We've got to understand it. Make room for them. Let them spill their guts. Talk to them. Challenge them. And then at the same time, trusting the Holy Spirit just to impart the power of Christ to unlock hearts. And sometimes it will take years. But Christ was like that. So now the good news. Before Jesus died, what happened? He went back to his hometown. Can you remember that? I'm not going to read it to you. Go do the research for yourself. But when he came back, miracles happened. Not just the few anymore. That day they wanted to destroy him. But after a while, his mom and his dad, they bought him. His sister said, no, this is truly the king. Everybody that hated him there, they bought in. He did it. He's risen. He changed their lives. That's the good news. And so I want to drop that with you. The ability to in us to change nations, it's truly there. To the poor, to the oppressed, to the lonely, to those who are in need, to those who want to hear it, we just preach it, we talk to them. We engage them. We're not scared anymore. We show them the better way. Not good advice, the good news of the gospel of the King that has already won. It's going to take time, but we're going to get there. I foresee times where we're going to sit down with people and they're going to get delivered without we talking to them. Just while we're worshiping, they're going to be delivered. It's going to be fine. They're going to know they're saved. They're just going to know it. They're saved. And then we're going to disciple them and they're going to change nations. They're going to change the world. They're going to do things really, really powerfully. And there's a lot of guys like that out of there and a lot of girls out there that I'm wanting to meet. I want to meet them. I want to sit down with them. I want to have coffee with them. I want to have a curry with them. I want to know, so why do you think that way? Have you thought of it this way? Have you ever thought of it this way? Can we talk about this? Are you willing to listen to me again? Yes, I'll be willing to listen to you again. We talk with them. Christ is going to change them. It's going to come with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Demonstrating the key to what would flip people's switches. So, when we walk in darkness, we tend to bump our legs and our toes and everything until God flips the switch. You say, okay, so there's the table, there's the books, there's the computer. And only Christ can do that. Otherwise, we just keep continuing. He'll unlock it if we faithfully preach this gospel that will change people's lives forever. I loved to debate. When I was young, I loved debating. I mean, I used to give Elmery a hard time when she was saved. And I knew the scriptures. I knew the scriptures. I knew the scriptures better than any Christians. Because I'm a very disciplined reader. I read very fast. I just bury myself in books and then I read. So I could quote the scripture. Until one morning I walk and I just hear God's voice saying, what are you doing? That's all that God said. What are you doing, my son? That's what he said. What are you doing, my son? It just flipped my life. I've never been the same again. stopped DJing, sold all my DJ equipment, walked away from promiscuity. I mean, what Christ did, He did. He healed me from 12 years, 12 times a year consecutive tonsillitis. In a blink of an eye, 2 years later, the hospital phoned me, "Sir, your bed's ready now." I said, "No, I don't have tonsillitis anymore. Give the bed to somebody else." Instantaneously. If you want to know where this urgency comes from, I'll never forget the call that I got from my mother. "You must go pray for your aunt. She's really sick." She had emphysema. Couldn't breathe anymore. It was on her last, Auntie Rebecca. She was in our congregation. I went to her, and when I got to her, she had the mask over. And she laid like the hunchback of Notre Dame, you know, and struggling to breathe. And I came towards her, and I looked at her, and I said, "Oh, Auntie Becca, how are you?" She took off her mask, and I asked her, "Are you scared?" She said, "No." I've prayed for 3 people that was dying already, and you can discern it, fear, and you can discern somebody that's going somewhere. And she put the mask on, and I prayed for her. And then it happened. She took the mask off. She called me closer. This is what she whispered. "The lady opposite me is dying of AIDS. I can't anymore preach the gospel to her." My day was over, Sifiso. Short message. I preached to this lady that had AIDS. My word. Look at this nice surprise, David, at the back. John. Anyway, I distracted myself now with John. But the lady that her age got saved. The next morning, my aunt and she died. Both died the same night. In 2000, my brother died in a car accident. They came from a nightclub, 5 of them in a Uno. And a truck drove over them, 5 of them killed. Up and until today, I don't know if my brother was saved. That's where my urgency comes from for preaching the gospel. At the one end, I knew 2 people. My aunt that was saved wanted me to preach the gospel with this lady that ate. They both died. I know they went to the Lord. And then my brother, I don't know. One day when I get to heaven, God will either tell me he's not. Up and until now, God hasn't said anything. So I just preach the gospel. That's where my urgency comes from. It's not a radicalness that I conjure up or I think it up. It's just in me. It just burns in me. And I want everybody to hear it. And you know what? I haven't done it and I haven't made it. But I want to come to this place relating to God properly and just showing me how to preach it to the poor. How to preach it. That's all. And just relate. Tell people, just relate to God properly. Allow Him. And I've learned that I can't save people. I can't. I can only just faithfully tell them what Christ did, and then Christ must do the rest. He must demonstrate the power. So that everything inside me transcends my pain, it transcends my culture, it transcends my way of thinking, it transcends everything of my ethnicity. So that I see a brother in front of me that's in need. Beyond that. I go beyond that. And so people, I just want to take the pressure of all of us here. We're not here to make this thing work. We're not here to bring people now, come to church. No, no, no. Just have your relationship with Christ and have relationship with people. Christ will shepherd His people, the Gentiles. He shepherd them back to church. We just need to take their hand and say, come. No more performance. This is God taking off this yoke of we must make this thing work. Let's just take off that yoke. We must come into the year of the Lord's favor. by being human beings, not human doings. We just be and experience His favor. Christ, I'm experiencing it. There's a peace that surpasses all understanding. Even I can't explain it. That's what I'm wanting us to come by. Do whatever it takes to get this right. If you have to take a week's unpaid leave, take it. Take the scriptures. Go somewhere. I don't know where to go. Under the Big Ben, next to the Big Ben. I don't know where. Just go. Spend time with Him and come back. Just do it. Tell somebody, David, there's this burning desire in my heart just to meet with Christ. Do it. Go. 2 days, 3 days. Go sort this out with God. Come back refreshed. He'll speak to you. He'll tell you. And we'll know when He has spoken to you. We'll see it when you come through the door for coffee. We'll say, oh, God has been talking to this person. We'll know it. We'll receive from You. We'll understand it. Let's pray. Father, we've coming to days where we're wanting to do everything right and we want to perform everything right. But Christ, You're wanting to be. You're wanting us to be with You. And You're wanting us to engage culture in such a way that they will see that we were created by the Almighty King of all kingdoms. And from that perspective, God, we just want this burden from ourselves to make things work. We want to walk into the year of the Lord's favor in God's presence. Just that peace that knows. God, and there's so many males within our congregation this morning. Their dads never knew how to turn their hearts. So there's a lot of males here this morning. They always had to perform to get their father's recognition. And this morning, God is saying to you, you don't have to perform anything to get His recognition. He's already turned His heart towards you. And there's so many males here, Father, they've brilliantly excelled in everything imaginable in their families. This morning, You're just telling them, I accept what You bring to the table. Let's talk about it. God, and I want to pray for all the women who have never experienced the love of a genuine male. It was always for them, if you do this, then I'll give you this. If you show this, I'll do this. They're constantly under pressure. This morning we break the pressure in the name of Jesus. We just break. Only You can do it, God. You break it. Teach us how to turn our hearts. Fathers to sons and sons to fathers. Teach us how to turn our hearts towards the nations. Transcending culture. Transcending ethnicity, just the turning of the heart, a connection of the spirit. I thank You for birthing this excitement in us that You will do it. You will do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you for coming this morning. Next week we'll be here again because of the bank holidays and holidays. We will have a combined service here again. Days are over, then things will be back to normal. So please spread the word. We'll send out the communication. If you need prayer, I want you to come this morning just for that connection with God. Pray with you. I want to thank you. Spend some time with us. Just enjoy the coffee and tea and everything. And just go be. It's the year of the Lord's favor. It truly is. No more performances, no more shows. Just the year of the Lord's favor for each and every one. He really wants it. And we must proclaim it and show it. God bless you.